Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Good morning, my friends. Now, okay, I just need to take a moment to mentally prepare myself for the next topic and the next couple of weeks, because the school bell has officially rang. And how do we keep our kids occupied over the summer? That is the big question. For me as a kid, it was always so long, the summer. It just went on and on and on. But is it possible to have a calm, relaxing summer while our beloved offspring are off? Well, my next guest is an expert on family life, because she's a journalist, she's a columnist for the Irish Times, an author, a broadcaster, an MC. There's nothing this woman can't do. And to top all that, she is also the mum of seven. She's here to give us the best tips for keeping your kids busy over the next few months, whether you are heading off abroad or you're staying in Ireland. Jen Hogan, you're very welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jen. I just want to come over and give you a big hug after an introduction like that.
Oh,
thank you.
Listen, you're flat out. Okay, just for people who haven't heard your story before, can you just give us a rundown of the ages you have?
Yes, so I have seven children and they're at slightly more respectable ages now, because the eldest is 22 now, but the baby is seven. So I have three of primary school age, three teenagers and a 22-year-old.
Okay, describe your house during the summer to me then.
Chaotic.
Is it?
Absolutely kept. It is, because I suppose there's so many kids with so many different needs at so many different stages of life. And I work a fair bit from home, which helps, the majority of it from home. That helps. But then it also doesn't help, because, you know, you're trying to interview somebody for the paper maybe, and someone else is coming in and they've been walloped with a lightsaber or worse, or they want a snack. And it's just a bit chaotic. And also you get the guilt, the mum guilt. If you are at home, then you are not properly working as far as they're concerned. You know, you should be available to them a little bit. I mean, they're used to the fact that mum works from home, but at the same time, if you're at home, why can't we do something fun? So there's a bit of, there's a lot of juggling, a lot of guilt, and a lot of hoping, winging it and hoping for the best.
I hate that question. I really hate it. And it's an awful habit my kids are in. What are we doing today?
All the time. No matter what time of the day it is, all the time. And so I've kind of done this thing now where I've kind of given up sleep, and it really helps. It gives me that opportunity to work.
You know? my kid is starting her camp today. But what are your thoughts on summer camps?
They're brilliant. They're a great opportunity for kids to do something that kind of floats their boat and something that they enjoy, you know, because in school you have to go to school, and some kids love school, some don't. Summer camps is where you can, I suppose, put kids to do something fun. But I think for a lot of parents, we use them as childcare. And because we use them as childcare, maybe our expectations aren't really realistic around them. They're hugely costly, obviously, and especially if you have a few kids. You know, they're a lifesaver in one regard, but they're expensive, which means, you know, that prices some parents out. And if you've got a number of kids, it's trying to find something that'll suit them all. They start a little bit later, that can be difficult. They finish a bit earlier. So they are brilliant, and they are definitely a help towards childcare. But again, it's all whether or not you're lucky enough to be able to afford it and find something that suits them. And also the ages. There's nothing for teenagers, or very, very little for teenagers.
Well, and it's a completely different, but we're kind of talking about keeping teenagers, occupied in the last hour. There's nothing for teenagers.
Very, very. I mean, there's the odd sports camp, an odd kind of maybe more exclusive camp, which is often out of the price range of a lot of parents. And for younger teens in particular, which, you know, even for the older teens, they find it really hard to get work, you know, because a lot of places don't want to hire under 18-year-olds. Mm-hmm. It's restrictions on their hours, maybe restrictions on what they can do. There are some jobs out there, but nowhere near as many, say, for the over 18-year-olds. So you've got your teenagers and they're off for an extra month, or if you're a TY student, an extra month and a half potentially. You know, it's a hell of a long
time.
Off to the Gaeltacht again if you can afford it. You're back to that. And I suppose even then with some of the summer camps, the age as well, where they might say they're suitable to age 12, you'll often find the drop off is 10, and so you've got the older one who doesn't really want to go because they're all babies at the summer camps. So they're brilliant, and I'm certainly not criticising them, and I will be using them myself, but they're not without challenge,
and
too.
They're a luxury. Mm-hmm. Okay, so do you have any tips or tricks for us to keep them occupied when they're off school? What are we doing, Jen?
Besides giving up sleep, honestly, try it. Don't knock it till you try it. I think for me, certainly, I move my working hours around. I shift them around a bit while they're off. I try to start working earlier in the morning, and I'm working very late into the evening. Like, I'm one of those people who sends an email at 3 o'clock in the morning, not because I want to show off that I'm still working, because my working day may have only started 3 hours earlier, and you're trying to work work around them. That's, again, a luxury. My job has a degree of flexibility sometimes, so I can manage to do that. I think we have to cut ourselves a little bit of slack around the screen time. I think this is something that, you know, we bash ourselves over the heads about when we're parents, and nobody wants their kids on screens all day. And you know, you want them on screens as little as possible, ideally, but I think we have to be realistic. And yeah, we keep looking back to the olden days, and well, when I was younger, we were outside and we were playing all day. Typically there was a mam at home then. That's what the big difference is now. There was typically a parent, not in every case, but in a huge amount of households there was a parent at home years ago, and so she, because it was usually mum, was able to facilitate, you know, the playing outside and you disappearing off all day. We live in very different times now. And even if you are at home or you work from home or you're able to I suppose, be at home for the period of the summer, it doesn't mean their pals are. So they might be in camps or somebody else is minding them. So it's not quite the same as before. So getting them outdoors obviously is the ideal, and getting them outdoors as much as possible. But I think we have to cut ourselves a little bit of slack around the screen and let them have a little bit of, I would say, don't go near it early in the morning, because you've got no carrot to bargain with for later.
Yes,
you know, and you've also likely got demons on your hand for the day when you try to pull them off it. And getting outdoors is brilliant. Like I would try to use
lunchtime. Yeah, do that in the morning or early lunch.
Absolutely. And like getting them outdoors, like even we're lucky enough to have a green close to where I live, taking lunch up to the green if the weather's nice, it just gets them out for a little bit. Or if there's a playground nearby, just getting out, taking them for a walk, at least you've done something with them. It helps your guilt. They less likely to
helps
ask
your
you
guilt.
For another 20
it gives
minutes.
You a bargaining power.
Yeah,
you know, it's the best way to do it. Absolutely, and really good tips. Come here, you and your partner recently went to the Canary Islands.
You did.
How did that go?
Oh, it was actually deadly. And again, the size of my family means getting away is, it's, I mean, a bit, besides being a logistical nightmare, we're often priced out of it. So it was only the third time in 22 years that we managed all of us to get away together.
Wow.
So it was huge excitement. I couldn't believe when my daughter said that she'd come along. So that was it. We were booked, and I had a leaving cert student as well, and we took him out of school, and I bet it was worth it. Hear the sharp intake of breath.
It was so worth it.
You know, it was brilliant. Just getting all away together, where we all had this, you know, bit of time together. Because again, busy household, so many children and so many teenagers with different needs. We were away.
All I can visualize is the start of Home Alone. You know, when they're all trying to get out the door to go to the airport. Was it a bit like that?
It was, with everybody running with their bags and all, and everybody kind of making their way through the airport. And there were definitely elements of that. And we did check very carefully sitting on the plane that we had everybody. But of course, none of us could be in first class, so there was no chance of forgetting about a kid back in coach. So we were all together, and everybody was strategically seated as well, for in the interest of, you know, no international incidents at 40,000 feet and the likes, you know.
Good
so we
tip.
Made sure no warring siblings or likely to be warring siblings were too close to each other.
That is, oh, I never did. See, I don't have that luxury because I only have two, and they just kill each other all the time. So for anyone going abroad, did you learn anything from your trip that can make, you know, a little smoother for families out there?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, people...
So warring siblings.
Warring
if you
siblings.
Have more than two, you know, don't put them next to each other. Or if you have two, sit in between them.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you, like, having their individual bags, even for travelling, that made things really easy. You're not being called for everything, you know. They had their little bits of pieces of distractions, whether that be a movie downloaded to a tablet or colouring books and pencils or a book to read or whatever, that they were all together and like little snacks out. That was really helpful for travelling and the strategic seating.
Yeah.
When we were there, I mean, one of the advice I got when I was writing the piece, the Irish Times, from most parents was leave the kids behind, you know, go without the kids. And there's a lot to be said for that. But, you know, on family holiday, I suppose there's an expectation that you bring them with you. And I think lowering your expectations was real. You know, it is the same chaos, different location. I mean, there's maybe better form in some degree because, you know, there's lots more treats and you're by the pool and the weather's nice and we're all in great form. But there's also cranky form comes with not having a routine and not sleeping as well. And the heat meaning maybe that you're not sleeping as well. And the food maybe being a little bit different. So lower your expectations and then lower them a little bit more. And then you get close to where you need to be.
Okay.
And doing things separately, I suppose, for us, meeting the needs of that big family. There were teenagers and there were smaller children. And not being afraid to sometimes break up and do things separately, you know, where you could. I mean, we wanted to be together. You wanted to have that big family experience. But also do that and take a bit of... If you're lucky enough that there's maybe another adult there, take a little bit of time for yourself too, so you get to enjoy too, because it is your holiday too. You know, we work hard all year round, so you want to come back and have enjoyed it also.
Did you get a bit of mean time? Did you get a chance to read a book? Or
I did actually. I suppose that was the joys of, you know, here was me going, it was fabulous that my 22-year-old came at me. It was also fabulous that my 22-year-old came at me, because then she could mind her little brothers while I read for
a
few minutes. Of course, you know, they want to be on holiday too. But it was, I got a little bit of that, even going up and just looking around the kind of central area and looking around the shops. That's the sort of thing that I like to do. I'm not a huge person for lying by the pool. It's grand. around for a little while. Then I'm kind of, what are we doing next? I don't know where the kids get it from. What are we doing? And so I was off to have a look around. And I was able to do that between juggling with Chloe and Paul in particular. And it was really nice to be able to do that. And it was very different from, say, having gone when the kids were much younger. That was one of the advantages of having slightly older children with you. Plus, I suppose having the teens, they were able to help out with the littles when they weren't driving them, weren't winding their siblings up as siblings do. But it was really nice. And do you know something else, actually? I definitely want to say the pictures, you know, the photos. Make sure you get in the photos if you're a mammy. Because I was looking back at the photographs and more so that my teenagers maybe had pictures that I was in. Maybe there was that one, you know, when they had moved away from the selfie for a minute or two. And get in the pictures, because those memories are the things. They're the one things you want to treasure. And we're terrible as mams as always taking the photographs, mothers in particular, and forgetting to get into them ourselves. Or maybe the hair is not right. We don't look right in the swimsuit. You know, we're just so critical of ourselves. Get in.
Get in the photo. Great advice. Lastly, are there any positives we can draw from our kids being off school during the summer?
Oh, God, yeah. There are. I mean, that's just it. While certainly there was an impending sense of doom last week when they were coming up to being off, because I am worried. And I think most of us are worried about how are we going to manage this long period of time with work and or even just keeping them occupied. And we do feel this sense to keep them occupied. We have to get back to this idea of free play being okay if you can facilitate it. But absolutely, no school lunches. Oh my God, that's just brilliant. That not having to make a lunch that you send that'll come home every single day, and you're lovingly preparing this lunch that nobody eats.
I'm looking forward to that.
The best thing, no homework. I mean, this is the absolute best thing. You're reclaiming your evenings again. The evenings are longer anyway, but you're also getting that time back. The end of the activities and no homework being the biggest thing means that you actually own your time in the evenings again. So even if you're busy during the day, know that you have your evenings to spend time with the family.
I've actually just noticed that for the first time. You know, I was like, oh, we don't have to go to karate now. Oh, we don't have to go here. And we don't have to go there. So the end of activities, you get your evenings back and the no homework. So let's rejoice and let's not be fearful of the summer holidays. Jen Hogan, this is essential advice. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing your tips and your tricks with us today. And the very best of luck for the rest of the summer holidays.
Thanks,
and you guys, do you have any tips you'd like to share with the rest of us? You can get in touch. 51552. Good morning. Jen Zaffarelli. 2FM.